we hesitate to come back to God, or there's this hesitation of, oh, shoot, did I mess up one too many times? But each and every time we mess up and in repentance come back to God, He is the Father who, like in the story of the prodigal son, is waiting for us with His arms open wide to embrace us, to say, I love you, to say, I will always love you. That is the good God that we serve. That's the good God that we worship today. That's the good God who has given us the privilege of being together and studying His Word today. Before we jump into the scripture for today, I want to just say a few things about myself and my family. Some of you know me and others don't. My name is Ryan Umble, and my wife, Bethany, is not with us this morning. She's on a spiritual formation retreat called the Intimacy Project this weekend. My children, Juliana Kai and Aslan, are here with us this morning. We have just recently wrapped up 11 years of missionary service with EMM in Cambodia, and we returned to the States in the beginning of July. We've been living over at the 170 house, or the missionary house, since then. We continue to be employed by EMM through the end of October. So what that does is give us an opportunity to reconnect with churches, supporters, get settled back here in the U.S., think and pray about future employment. And our children just recently started school at Hinkletown Mennonite. So that's a big transition for them and for us. And in September and October, Bethany and I have some opportunities to take some short courses, some about parenting, finances, coaching. So we're excited for the opportunities that we have in front of us. I wanted to take this opportunity to just share with you that being back in the U.S. is, we've experienced all kinds of different emotions. There's part of us that's very excited to be back, to be close to family, to enjoy things that we've missed, like sweet bologna and apple cider, two things that we cannot get regularly in Cambodia. But there is, might get a little emotional, there are a lot of things about our lives in Cambodia that we miss dearly. We were there for 11 years, so even though Cambodia at first, when our family went, felt very foreign, it became home to us. And so coming back to the U.S., there's parts of it that feels familiar, but there's parts of it that feels very foreign. Bethany and I, of course, have lived more of our lives in the U.S. than our children have. So for them especially, there's a lot of strangeness. Anyways, I probably won't go into much more detail about that, but just to let you know that it is really a challenge for us. And before the service, I asked if Pastor Austin would just come and pray, to pray for our family, because we really want to, we don't want to just move on to the next thing. There is, to some degree, we have to, you know, embrace new things. But we really want to give thanks for the good things that we experienced in Cambodia, the things that God did in us and through us, and to be sad, to grieve the fact that that is no longer part of, you know, that's not where we are right now. We sensed very clearly that God was calling us to come back to the U.S., but initially it was not what we wanted. We thought we'd stay there another 3 or 4 years. Ministry was going well, that we loved life there, but we sensed Him calling Him back. So we trust that He has good things for us here, but there's still a painful part about leaving Cambodia. So yeah, Pastor Austin, if you would come, and Juliana Kai-Nasman.
I invite you as a congregation to just extend your hand in prayer over this family. And Lord, we just bless the humble family. God, we trust Your purposes for them. God, in this transition season. We trust that you guide them. God, we are your sheep, and you walk with us. You care for us. You guide us. You lead us towards provision. You lead us in paths of righteousness. God, we ask that you be guiding and leading the humble family in this time. God, we thank you that you are caring, that you are a good father, as Ryan has said earlier. God, we just trust in that, and so we just declare that, that you are a good father, and that you have plans for the humbles here in the States, and God, that you would guide them. God, thinking about Paul's prayer in Ephesians, God, I pray that Ryan and his wife and his children would be rooted in the strength of your love, that they'd be rooted and established in your love, that in when there's so many other things that are changing and different and transitioning, God, that your love stays the same. Your love roots us and grounds us. God, I pray that they would have an understanding, a deeper understanding of your love during this season. God, that they'd be able to understand. You give them the strength to understand your love that goes beyond knowledge, that goes beyond understanding. God, that they'd be rooted in that. They'd be surrounded with that. God, I pray for them as a family, both as an immediate family and as they connect with extended family in the area. God, I pray that you just bless those connections and those relationships. God, we just trust that you have good things for them, that you have a plan for them, and that you are leading them and guiding them, and we thank you for what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Austin, and for brothers and sisters as you joined in prayer as well. I also want to make sure to say thank you, brothers and sisters here, for welcoming us into the 170 Missionary House. That has been such a huge blessing for us. Because we have that house available to us at the present, and because with EMM we're able to stay employed through the end of October, what that does is it gives us the opportunity to not just return and right away have to start looking for a house, right away start finding employment, but it gives us some space to think about, to pray about what has God done and where is he leading us into the future. So I know you've hosted many, many missionaries in there, and it's probably hard for us as missionaries to convey just how significant that is, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you also for the prayers and the financial support that you as a congregation have given towards EMM's work in Cambodia through our family. And I do have a short video that I'd like to share with you as kind of a thank you. You'll see various testimonies of young Cambodians who have been impacted by the ministry of EMM through a family in Cambodia. Our primary mission in Cambodia was developing leaders, and a lot of my time and energy was invested in a ministry specifically to university students. So that's who you'll see in this video.
First of all, I would like to say Chumrip Su. My name is Surajot. I'm from Koh Kong province.
My name is Niel Put. I mean, you can call me Put.
My name is Yue Si Lai. I'm from Kompong Thom province.
I come from Preben province.
My name is Sukhom Yan. I'm from Kompong Thom province.
My name is Sukung. I come from Kampong Thom province.
The dorm situation very, very, very important and blessing for me.
So when I finished my high school in 2003, I didn't know where to go.
God called me to continue my study at Phnom Penh City.
The students from the provincial, they are very, very has lessness of having a chance to get studying in the city.
My family, they don't have enough money for me to pay the rent house or for the food for me.
One thing that they are really need is accommodation.
I heard the good news once when I was in my hometown, but I didn't accept Jesus at that time.
That person always like want to catch me to believe in Jesus. And I feel like, oh, why like that? Or feel like not comfortable because my family is a Buddhist, very strong.
I never go to church. I never
listen to the gospel.
And we also had a good mentor in the dorm, because in the dorm have a lot of resources and different resources that we can learn from them.
They pray for me, so after that I feel like something is touched me, like different than before, so I feel like I'm freedom.
Before I also know God, but I didn't know clearly like my life in the dorm.
I just learned from friends and pastors that like God is good for me. So about 3 months later, I accepted Jesus and I got baptized.
Finally, I think that everything that I have nowadays is from God, because I always have plan, but I'm not depend on my ability or not depend on my idea, but I just know and then I pray to God.
I can say because of my experience in facilitate and also organize the activity and fellowship at the dorm and also at the church, bring me the technical and the life skill in a skill to work with others.
So currently I'm serving like one of the leaders in Phnom Penh Yanana Church.
Yeah. Marketing at a private international school.
I decide to apply in the NGO.
I work with, before I work with one NGO, we call One to One Cambodia.
We have devotion every day and we learn about Jesus. We have the question from the global. So I know a lot, so I feeling like I'm so excited that God have planned for me more and more.
It has been such a privilege for me and our family to be able to walk with these university students who've come from all over Cambodia to Phnom Penh for their university education, and to be a part of something in which they experience so much more than just getting their degrees, but also growing and knowing what it's like to have healthy relationships with one another and who God is and how to have a relationship with Him. So you have made this possible through your financial support, through your prayers and your encouragement. So thank you.
So of course it was very impractical to have some of these students, some of our friends from Cambodia come in person and be able to share with you, but I'm glad that you were able to meet them there through the video screen. If you have your Bibles with you, please open to the Gospel of Luke. We're looking at chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, and we'll be reading from verse 35 through the end of the chapter. Luke 18, starting at verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he responded. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So Jesus is traveling, right, on the way to Jericho. And as happens so often in the Gospels, his travel plans get interrupted. His travel plans get interrupted by this blind man who, when he hears who is coming, hollers out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when he's told to just be quiet, he's not very compliant. there was something inside of him that said, I am not going to let this opportunity pass me by. So he continued to do something that maybe was quite embarrassing. He didn't heed the kind of the criticism of those who were leading the way. He said again, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus, he got Jesus' attention. And when Jesus comes up to the man, what does he say? Jesus doesn't really make a statement. Jesus asks him a question. He says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? So if this were a classroom, I would ask you a question and ask for some response. But we got a lot of people here, so just think in your head for a moment. What are some possible reasons that Jesus asked this question? What do you want me to do for you? I'll give you just about 30 seconds of silence. You can think about what are some possible reasons that Jesus asked this man that question. What do you want me to do for you? I'm not going to suggest I know exactly why Jesus asked that question, but it is a little confusing if we understand Jesus as knowing, you know, the hearts of men, the thoughts of men. It's another time where he knows what says what he knows what the Pharisees were thinking. So it seems obvious that Jesus is not asking this question because Jesus doesn't know. So if Jesus knows the answer to the question, then why is he asking, what do you want me to do for you? I would like to suggest that Jesus asked this question because he wanted the man to recognize what he really wanted and what was important to him. If this man was blind, begging, he very frequently asked people for money, right? Or maybe food. That's not what he asks from Jesus. He says, Lord, I want to see. And of course, Jesus responds by saying, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Some things that I love about this story are the fact that this man, this blind man, he knew what he wanted. And so he didn't want just handouts. He didn't want to continue to live, you know, just by people giving alms or giving food. He wanted something more than that. He wanted to see. And more than that, he didn't just know what he wanted, but you know, when the crowd or those leading the way tried to tell him to be quiet, he didn't stop. He kept yelling. So he knew what he wanted, and he did what he had to do to get what he wanted. I believe that Jesus asks us, his children, the same thing that he asks this blind beggar. I think frequently, Jesus has on his heart a question for us. What do you want me to do for you? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's hard for me to be able to answer that question. What do I want? I'm a person who, when my wife and I are going out to eat somewhere, she may say, where do you want to go? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, wherever. You can decide. Or if she really presses me, no, where do you want to go? Take some real thinking. I believe that as Christians, there have been times that we are so encouraged to look out for the needs of others, to serve others, that it may create a misunderstanding in our hearts and minds that what we want and that what we need is not really important. I am very grateful to grow up in the Mennonite tradition of faith. And I am really grateful for many of the strengths of community, Christ-centered theology, peacemaking, so many strengths. And I think, of course, one of our strengths is that of service, of serving others, very practical ways. A weakness of my own personally, and I'm beginning to be more and more convinced that it's more than just me, more than just family, but it's broader, that it's easier for us to serve others, to meet their needs, than it is to ask others for help and let them serve us and help to meet our needs. When our family went to Cambodia 11 years ago, I thought that I was going to help the people of Cambodia, you know, to serve God and help the people of Cambodia. Which, yeah, it's fine. I was not prepared. I was not prepared for how much my Cambodian brothers and sisters were going to help me. I was not prepared for the fact that when we experienced a miscarriage, that our friend Daddy Ezra would come over early in the morning to help me lift Bethany, who had fainted, who had passed out, into her vehicle to take her to the hospital. I thought missionaries were supposed to help local people. I was not prepared for my Cambodian brothers and sisters to help me. I understand you as a congregation have been learning about, encouraging each other, and being intentional in how you relate with your neighbors, the art of neighboring. I haven't read the book and I haven't listened to the sermons, so perhaps what I'm saying is simply redundant. But if there's one thing I can share from you from my experience in Cambodia, is that sometimes the best way to serve our neighbors is to give them an opportunity to serve us. It feels good when we can help a neighbor out, when they have a need and their lawnmower is broken or they, you know, need something else. But it is humbling, it is hard for us to ask for help. But, so if it feels so good when we can help others, when we can help our neighbors, we need to realize that when we ask our neighbors for help, we are giving them the opportunity to experience the joy of helping us. It's okay for us to have needs. It's okay to be weak. It's okay for us to need the help of others. It's okay for us to be like this blind man and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We all have needs. We all have hurts. We all experience brokenness. And God, as the good Father, wants to meet those needs. He wants to take care of us. And he even wants to use our neighbors to do that. I believe that God can speak to us and show us, remind us of his favor and love, even through our neighbors who are not believers. We have things to share, to teach, to show our neighbors, and we have much to learn from them as well, and much to receive. I want to give an opportunity for just a little bit of silent reflection. And during this time, I'd like for you to just, you can close your eyes and reflect on two questions. One first question is, what do you want God to do for you today or this week? What do you really want God to do for you at the present? And secondly, What do you want your neighbors to do for you? What are some needs that maybe you have that you could muster up the courage to say, neighbor, can you help me with this? Okay, so I'll give just about a minute of silence for you to reflect on those questions. And then I'll close in a prayer. Lord God, we worship you and celebrate you as our good, loving Heavenly Father who gives us good gifts and who doesn't just give without asking, but who wants to know, what do we really want? What do we want us to do? What do we want you to do for us? Thank you that you are the shepherd who leads us in green pastures and by still waters, and who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank you that you prepare a table before us, a feast in the presence of our enemies, in the presence of self-doubt, in the presence of anxiety, in the presence of fear. You invite us to a lush banquet, and you sit back with us, and you laugh. You laugh with us. Thank you that your goodness and your mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and that we have the privilege of dwelling with you in your house forever. Lord God, we pray that by your Spirit you would continue your work of transformation in us. God, help us to see others and the needs of others and to meet those. We pray that you would help us to recognize more deeply our own needs, our needs for you and your transforming work, and our needs that we need to be honest with others, that we need to ask others for help with. May we be people who know how to give love, and may we be people who know how to receive love in greater ways. We pray all this for your glory, Lord Jesus, and in your name. Amen.